listening to مركز الصحابة, the voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
आमिना का दुलारा हमारा नबी, सबकी आंखों का तारा हमारा नबी, वो यतीमों गरीबों का है आसरा, बेकसों का सहारा हमारा नबी।
جس دل میں بسی الفت سلطان مدینہ, ہر لحظہ کرے مدحت سلطان مدینہ, سلطان مدینہ۔
سب رنج و علم دور ہوئے دل سے ہمیشہ, سب رنج و علم دور ہوئے سے ہمیشہ, صد شکر ہوئی رحمت سلطان مدینہ, صد شکر ہوئی رحمت سلطان مدینہ, سلطان مدینہ۔ در در کی گدائی کا ہمیں شوق نہیں ہے, در در کی گدائی کا ہمیں شوق نہیں ہے, کافی ہے بس ایک نسبت سلطان مدینہ, کافی ہے بس ایک نسبت سلطان مدینہ, سلطان مدینہ۔
جس دل میں بسی الفت سلطان مدینہ, ہر لحظہ کرے مدحت سلطان مدینہ, سلطان مدینہ۔
گھر بار تلک چھوڑ دیا راہ خدا میں, گھر بار تلک چھوڑ دیا راہ خدا میں, حق بات پہ وہ ہجرت سلطان مدینہ۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ, اہلن وسہلن ومرحبن بكم, and welcome to another edition of the midday show with myself, brother Suleiman Isop, from Monday to Thursday between 12:45, inshallah. We hope that everyone is in the best of health, inshallah. I do apologize that, you know, over the past, was it yesterday and Thursday, we didn't do any recipe segments, but inshallah, we're going to be trying to do some recipes today. If you have any questions, any queries, you can send it through on 084-786-3132, international and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Inshallah, today's topic is going to be on jealousy. You know, jealousy is very common. You know, they say you have nazar. People say, take a nazar. Nazar is a bad thing. Evil eye. Jealousy is very bad, especially when someone is progressing in life and when they are coming up from where they were, you know, started from the bottom, from humble beginnings, and now they are growing and they are achieving things in life, and there's always going to be people who are jealous, that they'll say, you know, how can this person progress in life? And it's unfortunate that insan and humans, we have got that heart, and you know, we must always make this a special dua that one should read, that Ya Allah, you remove the malice, the hatred, and the envy from my heart. So the dua for protection from evil eye and from jealousy is, O Allah, guard us from in front of us and from behind us and on our right and our left and from above. And we take refuge with you, lest we are swallowed up by the earth, O Rabb of the majesty and generosity. So that is the dua for protection from jealousy. Let us look at the Islamic perspective. Inshallah, I'm just going to go for a small break, and when we come back, inshallah, then we will continue with the discussion on jealousy, inshallah. We do apologize for that. But yeah, G, as I was saying, that we are doing the topic on jealousy. Let us see from an Islamic perspective, right? What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about the jealousy? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that beware of jealousy, for verily it destroys good deeds the way a fire destroys wood. This is narrated in Abu Dawood. So definitely, just like how when we have something going good for ourselves, and when people cast an evil eye, sometimes it might not be intentional that the person is doing it. That's why when you say something good for somebody, has something good, you say, MashaAllah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another narration, Zubair ibn al-Amwam radiallahu anhu narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there's come to you the disease of the nations before you, jealousy and hatred. This is the destroyer. I do not say that it shaves hair, but it destroys the faith. This is Hadith Hassan and is narrating Tirmidhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has favored some of you over others with wealth and properties. Do they deny the favors of Allah? This is mentioned in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 71. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they envy men for what Allah has given them of his bounties? This is in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, verse 54. Hasad is one of the most abominable and destructive feelings one can have towards his fellow person, his fellow man. You know, in this day and age, we should never, ever be jealous or have malice in our heart towards the next person. You know, in your timeline, everyone's supposed to be where they are according to your taqdeer. If you see a friend of yours driving a fancy car, living in a posh house, say, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala has given him from his bounty. Do not be jealous. Rather, you make dua and say, Ya Allah, you bless him with more. Rather, make that dua for him instead of saying, hey, I wish he never had something like that. Why Allah? And you must never question Allah Ta'ala. You must never question Allah Ta'ala's planning and his timing. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ Allah is the best of planners. Allah Ta'ala knows in his divine wisdom and knowledge as to why you as a person did not have such and such item, rather the next person had it. Your time, maybe something will come better. Now Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran to the effect that you may like something, but Allah knows better for you, and he doesn't give it to you. But he rather will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better which you didn't even anticipate that you will get. The jealous person is always restless, watching the objects of his jealousy, wishing every evil and misfortune to befall them. You'll always see, if you notice a person, like obviously when you interact with people, then you will see how you will see in their eyes, and you will see in their, you know, body language, the body posture speaks a lot. So when you're standing with a person, you will notice how they will look at, you know, with jealousy, and you know, I wish I had something like this here. And you'll always be restless. He will never be happy for you. And that's why I say they're wishing evil and misfortune to befall either you or the next person. This is when you look, when a jealous person is interacting with you, they always got in their head that I wish something bad happens to this person, or they will lose what they have. And this is not only for material things. How many marriages have broken because of jealousy? One person wants to get married to another person, to so and so. They got married to that person couldn't get married, then they start getting jealous And you know it, next 6 months, 8 months down the line, those people are divorced. Why? Because you had one particular person who was jealous and you couldn't see them happy. And then you put a nazar in the evil eye and the nikah broke. When we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us and protects all those who are married, Allah ta'ala keep your jewelry safe salamat. Ameen. And you see, I was just speaking about marriages, and now that it says here that we find jealousy between a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, siblings, students, and even friends. This evil habit has even taken over the religious ones in the community. Some alims are even jealous over each other. Some women who have studied a bit of deen have also fallen prey to this much, to so much of this life without jealousy isn't normal for many. We smile at the objects of our jealousy in the presence of others and in malicious envy to point of hatred behind the backs of those we wish we could be like, yet we hate them, we hate because we fall short. So what they're trying to say here is that what I mentioned in the beginning, that we look at them with jealousy because why? We don't have that there. Yet why can't we have that same thing which they have been blessed with? And we must, in inverted commas, suffer. You must never ever use the term suffering. Always remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never burden a soul that they cannot handle. I'm just trying to think of that ayat is in Surah Baqarah. Now, inshallah, when I get that ayat again, then I will mention it. Hasad also brings the jealous person closer to kufr and to shirk because it causes the individual to feel that Allah has not been fair with him. A'udhu billahi min zalik. And sometimes you, from a male perspective also, right, you'll say, you know what, why do they always have money? You know, end of the month, we come, someone will ask, you know, a beggar will come and will say, you know what, can I please have a 5 rand? I want something to eat. You say, you got no money, right? Which is the truth. Sometimes some of us are in that position where we don't even have a 5 rand. Allah Ta'ala mustn't make it such that we go through that position. Then they say, you know, why do they always have money? I wonder if he has any difficulties in their life because he's always smiling. He makes me sick. These are some of the answers or some of the thoughts that go through a person who is jealous. The jealous one always forgets the mercy and the blessings in which Allah has bestowed upon him. The small ni'mats that one person will have. No? You know, you might be smiling. Some of us might, some people, when you look at them, they might be happy, you know, families are, they're all okay, they got a happy family and everything. But if you go behind their history, for example, someone might not have a parent. Someone might not have, some people might be divorced. Some people might not even be married. Some people might not have children and they're yearning for children. So when they see a family of 4, 5, 6, 7 and they don't have children, then do you think that they are jealous? Of course not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Verily Allah ta'ala is with the patient one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are enemies for Allah's bounties. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are these enemies? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who envy the people for what Allah has given them of bounties. Now, my dear respected listeners of Marqa Sahaba, how dare we think that Allah is unfair to us? Allah is Al-Adl. Allah is the just. What is this worldly beauty, fame and riches that we burn for, that we wish harm on the sacred life of another Muslim? How can we actually even think bad for another person, another fellow human being? You know, some of us, some people, we work together in the same company. We see them in the masajid, but we will still wish bad upon them. That is the state of the ummah that it's become. Maulana Zaid, are you with us today, inshallah? Oh, mashallah, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Haji Suleiman?
Alhamdulillah, and you, Maulana?
MashaAllah. Mufti AK Sap is making a lot of announcements for you.
I know, but you have to ask the listeners also to make special dua for me, you know. I'm just speaking of jealousy, na? Hasad is a very bad thing, Maulana. And, you know, I'm just making it just an example, not example, but just some pointers that, like you, for example, Maulana, you've got four girls, right? Now, if you always, like, as a father, as a parent, you always wanted a son because now you want a family heir, you know, for your son to carry your name. You've got, like, ambitions as well that, you know what, I want my son to follow in my footsteps, for him to become an alim, to become a hufaz. You become, as a parent, you want your child to become better than me. Just yesterday, I was speaking to my son, my eldest, and he was telling me he wants to do a few things. So I told him, "Beta, I want you to become better than me. Don't do what I'm doing. I want you to become better than me, to progress in life. You want to do something, you do better than what I'm doing. Because as parents, we do not want our children to go through the same footsteps and the same path as to what we went through. Now, as I was saying, Maulana, that you've got four daughters, right? And if you see another person, right, with another family, and they've got two, say, for example, two sons around the same ages as your children. Now, you, as a human being, you would not look at them with jealousy. But our ummah has become such, Maulana, that we've got this hasad and jealousy in our heart that, you know, we don't want to see the next person uprising or doing better in life. Now, I mentioned a few ahadiths that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and maybe Maulana can elaborate on, elaborate a bit further, inshallah.
Inshallah. So, this year where you said about the parents and... there's two people, two categories of people that they will always want you to be better than them. It's your parents and truthful teachers. Your parents and your truthful teachers, those are the ones they love to see you grow. They want to see you grow. And it doesn't cause any pain to them to see you grow unless, illa masha'Allah, you get strange conditions in today's times. But generally, normal parents, normal teachers, truthful teachers, when they hear that their student or when they hear that their son or daughter is progressing and doing well in life, nothing, Haji Suleiman, you also know this, when you see your child progressing and they call it milestones as babies, they give you those cards and they say at this stage the child took his first step.
A certificate that you excel, like even with my children, when they were like, I know my small fellow, he excelled, alhamdulillah, mashallah, he does very well in Islamic studies. So he comes at first or second in Islamic studies, and also with the reports, when you get the reports, you see that, you know what, they've got sevens and eights, and also the madrasa report, when you see the madrasa report, you see that your child is an excellent child, and you see that he came out maybe second in the class or first in the class, and you've got a high percentage, and you as a parent, you say, you know, mashallah, my son, my child, my daughter, they've done so well, you know, and you praise them.
Now, years also, this can cause a lot of problems as well, because I'm just giving an example here. So you've got two children. One is doing well, and we speak about jealousy. So one is doing well, and the other is not really excelling. And this, I think, is something that we should touch on. because as parents, we find this to be common, that the one child, we always boasting, or rather, maybe not boasting, but praising them in the presence of the other child. And this child, you know, mashallah, she's doing so well. This one is, and the other one is listening, and that's causing a hole in her confidence. And she then feels that, why is this? She's always, and it draws, remember, it's not going to, most of the time we're finding that it's not really encouraging the child to see how they can do better, but it's bringing them further down. So as parents, we should be cognizant of this, and we should try to remedy this by doing that praise in a different way, in private, or trying also to praise both in other. Sometimes one is good in this, another is good in that. So trying to draw that balance, and at the same time, seeing how we can encourage. Similarly, in the sphere of deen, which is what that makes us the most happy, when you see the one child is progressing, but then on the other side, it makes you sad as well to see that the other one is not taking an interest. And as parents, this should be the real worry and concern. All that sports, extramurals, all of this shouldn't really be our interest. In fact, it shouldn't feature. My child, is this child reading Salah? And is this one also progressing in this field? What can I do to make that difference so that this child starts and also goes into this field of taking on dini activities, performing Salah, Ibadah, this is what we speak about. So in the same breath, when we speak about that, we should also know that how can we also play that role to encourage the next child? What can we do? So amongst the ways is that, as we said first, do not encourage the one, do not praise one in the presence of the other one consistently now and then, but see how you can also praise the other one in other angles, other spheres, categories as well. So everyone's strengths are not the same. The other aspect which we can do to encourage our children, and so that we take out this, is you give equal attention to all. Equal attention to all, and when one breaks, you have to have set principles. These principles, it should be based on, it should be fixed. And it shouldn't change according to children. This one, no, she's favorite. This one, no, she's whiter. And this is what we have, this tendency as well. Based on color or based on looks, we as parents are supposed to be fair to our children. So each one is supposed to be treated the same. And when there is the treatment that differs, it should be based on principles. So if one broke a principle or broke a law of the house, then that person, that child, supposed to be equally punished. Similarly with another child, and that equal. So when this child now grows up seeing that my father, my mother, treats us according to the principles which is based on Islamic Sharia. So you never read Salah, so we're taking this away from you. And when the other one doesn't do it, also equally the same. Sometimes we tend to show more mercy to another. That can cause problems as well. Sometimes what we do also is we tend to give the one child a little bit more than the other. So that's the same. It causes just that jealousy and that hasad. Why is this child getting? Why am I not getting? What did I do wrong? And you'll see later in life, it has a major impact that my mother, my father gave more attention to that child and did not give it to me. And look how I am now faced with this difficulty now. How does it play out eventually? This child turns to, Allah forbid, turns to drugs, Allah muhfadna, turns to all these other avenues because they are not getting that attention. You'll see different ways a child expresses themselves to get that attention. They are yearning for it from their parents. And When they do not get it, they turn to all these other avenues. Sometimes you will see children, they do strange things, but it's just with the objective of getting attention, that I cannot fill that shoes of my brother or my sister, so I'm doing this now so that I can equally get that. Yes, when it's something good, alhamdulillah, then you praise Allah. But when it's something bad, then we should know that we played a role in that. So finding ways, different ways, to be fair, equal. And the only way that can be is when you have principles. I'll give you one example, and that should resonate. That when we were in Darul Uloom, so when we were married, so you tend to feel that, okay, I'm older, I've got a family, I've got a wife, this, that, maybe the teacher can be a bit more fair to me and understanding to me. But when we see the justice system, if I was late or I was absent, the same rule applies to that student who is not married. So you tend to think then, afterwards you think this ustad was right in what he did. And when you become a teacher then, you feel that I should be applying the same thing. Even with our students, teachers with students, how often we give so much attention to one student, that child's confidence is boosting, but we're breaking so many other children. What happens in the interim? It has this negativity, and that child is just brought to the ground more and more and more. So to have that balance in praise, balance in criticizing, balance in the whole. When someone does good, you're basing it on a principle. And at the same time, you give encouragement to the others to say that if you also do this, then you will also succeed. You will also achieve this. So equally, and this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taught us, that equally you treat your children. And of course, sometimes, for example, when we were young, my father used to give me a certain allowance, used to give my brother a certain allowance, my sister a certain allowance. So of course, my amount was not the same as my bigger brother because his needs were more. So my allowance was much less. But the reality of it was, I always had extra more money than all of them because we are not using from that bank account. So my money is growing, their money is reducing because they have more expenses, they're doing more things, they're going more places. So I'm saying it's not equal at all ages, different principles, different ways. But at the end, it should balance out eventually. And the only way, as we said, is you have, for example, in the home, you didn't read Salah. So for this week, you are not getting this particular perk or this particular. Then the next one, Salah is equal for all. Of course, if they are baligh or baligha, it's equal to all. For those who are not baligh and baligha, it will change according to age. 6 years child, yes, you're going to introduce Salah to them and you're going to encourage them. But that 6 year old, you're not going to treat, if she misses her Salah, it's not going to be the same as that child who's 10 years old who misses her Salah. There is a difference. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that is, you have to reprimand them and you're allowed to hit them at that age. But of course, not abuse them. This is where people take things out of context, and the West, they step their feet in and they take everything according to how they. But when you see in their circles how much of holds there is, because they don't have any principles. So I just thought we'll share on this basis, because our brother Suleiman covered most of the aspects in the hadith with regards to hasad. And generally we understand hasad. Hasad is one of the first few actions. In fact, it started with shaitan. He was jealous. And Mulana Musa Lahey, he spoke, this was what the topic was, this morning's program. He spoke about this.
Sorry about that. So it's just something came to my mind. Jealousy also started with Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's two sons,
Habil
and Kabil.
Mm.
One was darker and one was lighter.
Mm.
And one's offering was accepted, the others wasn't.
Mm.
You know?
That's why I heard this from Hazrat Mulana Ibrahim Devla Sahab. He said that jealousy is, if you look at it, it's more dangerous than shirk. Now you raise an eyebrow to say, why is this here? Because if you see Shaitan, he is the founder of shirk. But where it started off, his root was jealousy. And that anger, jealousy, anger, all of this, it fits together. As you mentioned about Habil and Qabil, it's the initial was jealousy. Why is he getting better than me? And as you mentioned, you already said the solution, make that dua instantly, that Ya Allah grant this person better than, no, you say Ya Allah grant him
more.
No, you say Ya Allah grant him and also grant me.
Because see, when you make dua for your fellow brother or your fellow Muslim, the malaika make ameen for you as well.
Mm.
So that's why you must always take out good things, must always say pleasant things to
and
people.
Another way is when there's you're jealous of someone, you make it a point to go and greet that person, shake hands with that person. And sometimes it's just a handshake, or sometimes it's just to speak or to give a gift or to do something. Because what happens eventually, that conflict rises to such an extent that that person now wants to do all sorts of things to harm you. So before that happens, you be the first one to go and kill that fire.
Mulana, can Mulana, I just thought of something now, right? You know, there's these things going around, the hand of Fatima. Have you seen that there?
No.
It's a thing, right? Or where the people wear this blue thing, right? And they've got like an eye. And they say it repels nazar, or repels the jealousy, or evil eye.
No.
You haven't seen it. You must be going Google search it. A lot of people, unfortunately, our Muslim Ummah is like that, where they are actually resorting to such things.
And this year is the reason for this is because our lack of iman. And lack of iman means that the Quran Sharif, you believe in it. You believe in the Ahadith Mubarakah. But your yaqeen in it is gone. So when you're saying something, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, you'll find the response is, but I don't even have that iman to believe in what you're telling me. I believe Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came with what he's saying is truth, haq, everything. But in practice, I don't have that strength of iman to practice upon what you are telling me. Give me something else. Already that states or that gives us the sign that your iman is in a devastating state and you have to do some, renew your iman. The best way, recite with us now, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Constantly repeat this and constantly be happy with the decree of Allah, be decree with what Allah has given you, the deen of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Islam. Be happy with what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the prescription for all of this. What is that? The prescription is, I've got a car, my gaze went to another one who's got an SUV. No. You look at someone who's riding a horse. You look at someone who's got lower than you. Someone who's struggling. Someone who's walking. And that person who's walking, he's seeing someone with no legs. That person with no legs, he's seeing someone who's a vegetable. So constantly, that is going to make you feel that, okay, alhamdulillah, my condition is still better. Another way is, when it comes to deen, you look at those who are above you, so that is going to enhance you, it's going to direct your objective in your vision. I need to go in this direction, yeah. So Allah Azza wa Jal grant us tawfiq, understanding. Haji Suleiman, what's on the menu?
Mawlana, unfortunately, you know, we come up with so many powerful topics that we just go overboard. See, we got a message, Mawlana. that the blue eye is from a Turkish tradition. That, you know, I was just reading it up now. It's called Hamsa. So they give a lot of description, and it comes back from the Catholic times, or the times in the early ages, pre-Islam in Spain. So that's how, that's where it originated from. But yeah, as Mulana was saying, that we come up with so much topics, or so topics that are in, so ripe amongst our community, that we forget about the recipe segment. But inshallah, you know what, I promise, inshallah.
I can send you a few,
No, then inshallah, you know what you do, Mulana? I think we must start with the recipes, no? And then after we're done with the recipes, you know, okay, the recipes are done, then we can tackle whatever topics we got, inshallah.
Yeah. So let them send the recipes.
We can send the recipes, and then inshallah tomorrow we will start with the recipe segment. And then after that, we will continue with whatever topics of discussion that we have, inshallah. Mulana, jazakallah khairan for your time. Allah Ta'ala bless you and your family. Remember us in your du'as, inshallah.
Ameen. You too. Ameen. Grant you the best in this world, the year after, and all our listeners as well. Those struggling to find a spouse, Allah grant you a pious spouse. And those who are wanting children, Allah grant you the best pious children. And always be happy with the decree of Allah. That's the best that you can say. Don't ever question, as you've said. Imagine a person, he lost his son. And this son, he lost the son, but he didn't know what the son is going to grow up into. Allah Azza wa Jal knew the wisdom. How many youth have passed away just in the past few months? And parents are saying, but why? Why me? Why me? Don't say why me. Say, Ya Allah, you know best why. And I submitted what you told me, that I'm happy with what you have given me this condition. I'm happy. I'm going to submit to it. Make dua for us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, I was even thinking about Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam, no? Ayyub alayhi salam, when he was inflicted with that the disease. And the only organs that were living or were functioning was his tongue and was his heart. And his wife even asked him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inflicted inverted commas with so much. Why don't you just give up? He says, this is the decree of my Allah that he's testing me. And this shows also to have the conviction that everybody else is progressing in life. But you must have that faith in yaqeen in Almighty Allah, that tawakkul, that Allah will change my life for the better, inshallah.
And that's what people think, unfortunately, that once a condition hits me, hey, what? This is a punishment for me. But if you take it in this context, if it's drawing you closer to Allah, then it's not a punishment for you. It's a mercy for you, because you are getting closer to Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much you look at the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, this alone is so much of encouragement, that they experience such difficulty, such tests, major tests, and they are the chosen, they are selected by Allah Azza wa Jal to be these major, major prophets. So, difficulty, it just depends on how you respond. And we need to start training. It's not something that, okay, once you've done it once, you have now got the certificate for life now, mashallah, you are the waliullah. You, at one stage, if you noticed, at that point I broke that glass, it fell down from my hands, and I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's your first way you are going to train your mind and yourself. Some calamity, anything hits you, first thing, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It can be a small thing, small things, then you build up, and then you gain more immunity. One ustad used to explain it relatively well you're explaining to children. What do children know? Games. So he was saying to them that, look, you're playing this game and it's got levels 1 to 10. you know all those games people play. And as you move from level 1 to level 2, you find level 2 is more difficult, level 3 is more difficult, level 4 is... Then some games they used to have it, level 10, they used to call it, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, that they used to call it the Godfather. Now you're fighting this big giant, and it's a major fight. If you win that, you win the game. But what he was trying to tell us is that it doesn't get easier. It gets more difficult because your end, your akhirat, is that actual place for you. We did it this morning in the hadith in Riyadu Salihin. That it was Hazrat Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu. He's saying, we went to fight in battle with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naltamisu wajh Allah. We were searching for the pleasure of Allah. And we got our rewards. Some of us, some amongst us, they left and they didn't taste that rewards as yet. And he was envying over the fact that they didn't enjoy that the dunyawi reward. The aspect where you're going to enjoy it in this world. And he said, he was speaking about Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Minhum Mus'ab ibn Umair. He was one of them. He didn't enjoy any of that rewards, and his rewards is for the Akhirah. So that alone is motivational, because the less you get in this world, the more benefits for you in the Akhirah. So that is why we have vision. We don't just look at the tip of our noses. And the Jews, all of them, they are constantly striving because they know it is only this life that they have. If you turn to Suratul Jumu'ah, Allah Azza wa Jal challenges the Jews. Ya ayyuha alladhina hadu. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ إِن زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. O Jews, if you really feel that you are the chosen, they always say, don't be anti-Semite, don't be... So they always feel like they are the chosen people. If you feel that you are the chosen friends of Allah, then simple, فَتَمَنَّهُ الْمَوْتِ, wish for death, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful, Allah Azza wa Jal then gives the answer. It's like a father is telling his son, do this, I'm telling you, do it, but I know you won't do it. Allah says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will never ever wish for death because of what they have sent forth with their own hands. Take it on the battlefield. The Jews, the soldiers, terrorists, baby killers, what are they doing? They're all good for playing games, soldier of fortune, pressing buttons with their hands. And they are the ones dropping these bombs. And when they get killed, you see their faces. It's like they is so terrified, like something major has hit them, knocked them. And even before that, while fighting, what fighting? Pressing buttons, that's not fighting. So they can't come out of their tanks because they know it's going to be horrific down there. You take it on a general scale, meet a Jewish businessman. He's 80, how many people we heard? 80 and plus, but they're still striving to make this worldly life of theirs because they know, they say to us even, my children have all left me, I'm alone here, and I have to slog for myself. I don't want to die because I know what's going to happen to me. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla. And for the believer, he's constantly searching. How can I get that martyrdom? And how this will leave you with this hadith. I love to quote it, and I'll quote it here in this program as well. من سأل الله تعالى الشهادة بصدق بلغه منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه. Whoever asks Allah Azza wa Jalla with truth, with sidq, bisidqin, with a truthful heart, sincere heart, for shahada, for martyrdom, Allah Azza wa Jal will raise that person's status to the level of martyrdom of the shuhada, wa in mata ala firashihi, even though he passes away on his bed. So this year, we love death in the path of Allah, and we should love it, but we should not become despondent. Constantly we're looking. Imagine death is something where for them it's the end. That's why before, when we were practicing bayans, and I used to start like this, where the believers, where their life ends, our life begins. Where their happiness has, they feel totally at the level, now I'm secure. That's the end. Our happiness only begins there and it doesn't stop. It's eternal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Mulana, just a thought that came to my mind. You mentioned about video games, right? When we were younger, we used to play video games, right? We never knew the concept and all. But when we play a video game, and if we die after our first attempt, we don't throw the controller one side and say we're not playing, right? We're going to keep on going until we clock that game. So just like that in life, when you get thrown with curveballs, you don't just say, you know, I'm giving up on life. You must try and progress and try and beat and try and find a solution to our every problem. But Mulana, inshallah, jazakallah khairan, that's our last and final thought.
Yeah, and as you said, that if you look at these people, it's just so strange. I can't fathom. You know that book, I think you take it sometimes, What Happened Day. Today.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just flipping through it. Now there's this, his name was Epstein.
Yeah, yeah,
of
Epstein.
Of the Beatles.
Yeah.
He died on, I don't know what date of February. We're not interested in all of that. But if you see how much he was worth, and he was a celebrity, and he committed suicide. And you think to yourself, but such a person like this is supposed to be happy. But put that aside, and then you see these people on the streets who have absolutely nothing, and they are so happy. How come? What's the reason? So like they say, there's few sayings like that in English where you don't have anything to do. You've lost your objective. So that creates depression. And Allah has made us people to do things. These people, they have a car to go from point A to B. They are walking. In that walk, there is so much of things that they are doing which we are neglecting ourselves of. People are flying. These people, they're so rich, they don't even have, they don't need to. They just want to go one place. Driver takes them, or the plane takes them, helicopter, whatever it is. There's no physical work involved. But you see the life of a believer. He's always doing something. He's always got his gaze on something. This keeps you positive. When you feel like I'm on that couch and I've got everything that I wanted, I'm sitting in my garden, I've got the view, I've got everything. And you ask that person, but how come you're still not happy? He said, that's just the thing. I've got everything. There's nothing that's going to make me more happier now. Whereas we have so much of to look forward to. I think that's the end, inshallah.
Inshallah. آخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. And that was our beloved Mulana Zaid Khan. Inshallah, from tomorrow we think we're going to start with the recipes first, because on Thursday and today and yesterday and today we never do any recipes. So inshallah, tomorrow we will start with our recipe segment. From the team of the Midday Report with myself, Brother Suleiman Isub, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1, 1.45, 1.50 p.m. And the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.